If you've been following the tech space even casually over the last few months, you already know the landscape is shifting.
Oh, at a breakneck pace.
Exactly. It is moving so fast.
Yeah.
So today we're bringing you a highly requested deep dive into the absolute bleeding edge of that shift. Welcome to the front lines of the March 2026 AI battlefield.
It really is a battlefield out there right now.
It is. And the topic for today is analyzing this comprehensive, hands-on comparison we got our hands on. It covers the three undisputed titans of the industry right now. We're talking OpenAI's GPT 5.3, Google DeepMind's Gemini 3.1 Pro, and Anthropic's Claude 4.6 Opus.
And we're looking at a massive stack of source material here.
Huge. We've got benchmark data, real-world stress tests, coding challenges, raw pricing metrics, everything.
Yeah, and the mission of today's deep dive is really to just cut through the noise.
Because there is a lot of noise.
So much. The hype machine in Silicon Valley is working in overdrive, right? Every single one of these companies is claiming their model is the definitive revolutionary leap forward.
Of course they are.
So we are going to sift through those marketing claims, break down the hard data from our sources, and help you figure out exactly which of these powerhouses actually deserves your time, your money, and your trust.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to really understand the gravity of where we are right now, we need to look at the timeline and the raw specs of these contenders. The sheer scale it's staggering.
It really puts the previous generations to shame.
Totally. So first up in the lineup, released back in January 2026, we have Anthropic's Claude 4.6 Opus. Now, Anthropic is playing their cards incredibly close to the vest here.
Yeah, they are keeping their exact parameter count a closely guarded industry secret.
Which is interesting, but then February 2026 hits, and the other two heavyweights drop almost simultaneously. We get GPT 5.3 from OpenAI, packing roughly 1.8 trillion parameters.
Massive.
And Google DeepMind answers back with Gemini 3.1 Pro, boasting well over 2 trillion parameters.
Those numbers are astronomical. I mean, 2 trillion. But as anyone who builds with these models knows, parameter count is really only half the story. To understand how these models actually perform, we have to look at the context window.
Which is essentially how much information you can feed the AI at once,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's working memory. So Claude 4.6 sits at a very respectable 200,000 tokens.
Brisson.
Yeah. And GPT 5.3 slightly edges it out with a 256,000 token window. But then...
here it comes.
Then we look at Gemini 3.1 Pro, and it absolutely shatters the scale with a 2 million token context window.
2 million tokens. That number gets thrown around so much in the marketing materials that I think people become numb to it.
They do.
But the practical application of that is just wild.
What's fascinating here is what a 2 million token context window actually enables for you in the real world. It completely changes the paradigm of how you interact with a machine.
How so?
Well, you aren't just prompting it anymore. You are immersing it in your entire digital environment. You can hand Gemini a complete novel, an entire software code base, or even a four-hour video in a single prompt.
That is insane. Imagine being a paralegal preparing for a massive corporate litigation case.
Oh, that's a perfect example.
Right. Instead of running keyword searches through hundreds of separate PDFs of court transcripts, you just drop the entire gigabyte-sized zip file into Gemini and ask, did the defense attorney ever contradict his opening statement regarding the timeline on day four?
And it turns what used to be a week of manual, soul-crushing labor into a 10-second query.
And because of these fundamental architectural differences, you know, Gemini's massive context, GPT's parameter density, you can really see the distinct identities that the creators are pushing.
Oh, absolutely. They are carving out very specific lanes.
GPT 5.3 is leaning heavily into its raw brute force reasoning power and its massive ecosystem of interconnected tools.
While Claude 4.6 Opus is clearly positioning itself as the reliable, meticulous engineer.
Right, the lowest hallucination rate in the entire industry.
Exactly. They want you to trust it implicitly with mission-critical tasks.
But claims and marketing identities are one thing. The source material we're looking at doesn't just take their word for it.
No, it puts them to the test.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The source material dives straight into the hard numbers in the benchmark war chapter. They ran these three models through a gauntlet of seven major standardized testing categories.
And honestly, they completely split the board.
Yeah, there was no single model that just steamrolled the competition.
Which tells us the market is highly segmented. It was an incredibly tight race. Let's look at GPT 5.3 first.
Okay.
It won two out of the seven categories. It dominated in math, scoring a massive 96.2% on the Math 500 benchmark.
Wow.
But more importantly, it took the crown for deep reasoning, scoring 71.4% on the GPQA Diamond test.
And we should pause on that for a second, because GPQA Diamond isn't just a trivia test.
Not at all.
That benchmark is populated with questions written by actual PhDs in physics, biology, and chemistry. It is designed to be punishingly difficult, even for human experts in those fields.
Yeah, to score over 70% there proves GPT isn't just regurgitating facts that's scraped from Wikipedia.
Right. It is synthesizing novel scientific logic.
That's a crucial distinction. It's moving from knowledge retrieval to actual cognitive generation. Now, looking at Gemini 3.1 Pro, it also walked away with 2 out of the 7 categories.
Which ones?
It took first place in overall knowledge, hitting 93.8% on the MMLU Pro test, and it won the multilingual benchmark.
Which leaves Claude 4.6 Opus.
Yep.
It actually secured the most individual category wins, taking 3 out of the 7. It won in coding, agentic tasks, and it took the reliability crown with that incredibly impressive 2.8% overall hallucination rate.
A 2.8% hallucination rate is a massive psychological safety net.
Oh, it's huge. Oh. Because there is nothing worse than an AI confidently lying to your face with perfectly formatted code when you're on a tight deadline.
Exactly. But, you know, standardized benchmarks are great for white papers. What I love about our source material is that it doesn't stop there.
Right. They did actual real-world testing.
Yeah, they detailed this fantastic test where they basically gave these AIs a standard everyday developer task. They said, build a Next.js dashboard with full authentication and a database connection.
Just a straightforward, common web dev prompt to see how they behave in the wild.
And the results of this specific test are incredibly revealing. It exposes a trap that a lot of developers fall into.
Let's break it down. Start with the Google's Gemini.
Okay, so Gemini 3.1 Pro was blazing fast. It finished writing the entire full-stack application in just 28 seconds.
That's absurdly fast.
But that speed came at a significant cost to accuracy. The resulting code produced 3 bugs right out of the gate.
Ouch.
And it received the lowest security score of the bunch, a 7 out of 10.
Moving fast and breaking things. But I think you're right about that being a trap, especially for junior developers.
Oh, absolutely.
When an AI generates a massive block of complex code in under 30 seconds, it feels like magic. It looks complete, so you inherently trust it more.
But then you run it, it breaks, and you have to meticulously hunt down 3 hidden authentication bugs.
Yeah, that speed suddenly becomes a massive time sink.
Exactly. The illusion of competence can be dangerous. Then we look at GPT 5.3. It took a bit longer, clocking in at 42 seconds.
Still fast.
Yeah, and it provided fantastic system architecture, earning a 9 out of 10 in that regard. But the code still didn't run perfectly on the first try. It had 2 bugs that needed tracking down.
And then there's Claude 4.6 Opus. Claude took the longest by a fair margin. It made you sit there and watch the cursor blink for an agonizing 55 seconds to generate the output.
But here is the critical takeaway. When the source testers executed Claude's code, it achieved a completely clean run on the very first try.
Ugh, 0 bugs.
0 bugs. And it scored a 9 out of 10 for security.
Think about that from a productivity standpoint. If you're a developer or an enterprise engineering team trying to bootstrap a project, that dynamic is everything.
It really is.
An extra 20 seconds of waiting for Claude can literally save you 2 hours of pulling your hair out, debugging a botched authentication flow.
That meticulous, slow and steady approach is exactly what makes Claude a great engineer.
But coding is a highly structured language with rigid rules of syntax. What happens when we throw away those rigid rules and force these models to deal with the messy cultural nuance of human languages?
Oh, this is where it gets tough.
It really does.
Yeah.
That brings us to the second real-world test from our source. They asked the models to write a 2,000-word article about quantum computing, but in fluent Persian.
And this acts as an incredible stress test for a model's underlying training data. It exposes some glaring structural weaknesses.
How did Gemini do?
Gemini absolutely dominated this multilingual challenge. It generated 2,400 words and scored a 9 out of 10 for both fluency and natural tone.
So it truly understands the nuance and idiom of the language.
Probably because Google has access to such a vast, diverse reservoir of global internet data.
Makes sense. And GPT 5.3.
GPT performed solidly. It hit 2,100 words, and it actually scored the highest for technical accuracy regarding the quantum concepts, earning a 9 out of 10 there.
But Claude had a very rough day at the office on this one, didn't it?
It really struggled. It only managed a 7 out of 10 for fluency, and it arbitrarily chopped the article short at just 1,700 words.
Oof. The source material notes this reveals a significant architectural weakness in Claude, regarding right-to-left or RTL languages.
Yeah, like Persian and Arabic. It seems Anthropic simply lacks the depth of training data in those linguistic structures.
So what does this all mean? We have Claude as the meticulous coder, Gemini as the fast-talking polyglot, and GPT as the rigorous technical thinker. But these companies aren't running trillion-parameter supercomputers for charity.
Definitely not.
The pricing chapter in this deep dive is a wild ride. How does this impact your wallet?
The financial breakdown is where the competition gets truly fierce. Let's start with the free tiers.
The battleground for consumer users.
Exactly. If you are a free user, Google is essentially giving away the farm. They give you access to the full Gemini 3.1 Pro model.
Wow.
Conversely, OpenAI and Anthropic restrict their free users to their smaller Mini or Sonnet versions.
So it's an immediate massive value win for Gemini there. But what if you're ready to upgrade to a standard subscription?
At the standard Pro level, you're going to pay about $20 a month across the board, whether you choose GPT, Gemini, or Claude.
Okay, $20 is the baseline. But then we look at the max or ultra tiers for the power users, and the price is just scattered to the wind.
This is where we see exactly what they think their models are worth.
Gemini asks for $49.99 a month. Anthropic doubles that, asking $100 a month for their maximum tier. But OpenAI, they are charging a massive $200 a month for GPT Pro Max.
It's a staggering premium.
It is. OpenAI charging $200 a month signals a massive shift in the industry. They're positioning GPT's deep reasoning mode as a piece of high-end enterprise software.
They want it to be viewed like an AutoCAD license or a Bloomberg terminal, a specialized tool for specialized professionals.
That's a perfect analogy. And that disparity continues when you look at the back-end costs for developers, the API pricing.
Oh yeah, the API costs are all over the place. If you need to process 1 million input tokens, Gemini charges you an incredibly cheap $3.50.
Wow.
GPT charges $10 for that same 1 million tokens, and Claude charges $15.
The financial verdict from the source data is incredibly clear then. Gemini offers the absolute best overall value.
Hands down. Between the free tier, the $50 ultra tier, and the dirt cheap API, it's an undeniable bargain.
Now, for Claude, that higher API cost and the $100 subscription might sting initially, but you have to weigh that against the productivity multiplier we talked about.
Exactly. If that premium cost saves your engineering team hours of debugging because the code works on the first try, the return on investment pays for itself instantly.
You aren't paying for a chatbot. You are paying the salary of a senior staff engineer.
Spot on. But GPT's $200 a month tier, that is incredibly hard to justify for most users.
Yeah, unless you're doing some wildly specific heavy mathematical modeling.
Right. Most standard workflows simply will not extract $200 of value from it.
Which brings us to the ultimate question. The reason you are listening to this right now. Based on all of this data, which one should you use?
The source material provides a fantastic decision matrix that categorizes these three AIs into specific archetypes. Let's run through them.
Okay, let's do it.
First, we have the engineer. Claude 4.6 Opus. You should absolutely use this if you are a programmer or an enterprise organization. Its strengths are its unmatched coding accuracy, that industry-leading low hallucination rate, and its strict adherence to instructions.
But the weaknesses you have to swallow with the engineer.
It's expensive, it has a tendency to cut long outputs short, and it fails at complex multilingual tasks, particularly with right-to-left languages.
Got it. Next archetype.
Next is the polyglot. Gemini 3.1 Pro. You should use this if you are a student, a startup needing to scale cheaply, or someone who natively speaks Persian or Arabic.
The core strengths there are the 2 million token context window, cheap API, native multimodal capabilities, and the best free tier.
Exactly. But the polyglot has flaws. The weaknesses here are inconsistent outputs, it can be overly wordy, and it has a higher tendency to produce buggy code when moving fast.
And finally, we have OpenAI.
The thinker. GPT 5.3. You should use this if you are a mathematician, a scientist, or a content creator. Its strengths are its deep reasoning capability, that O3 mode for PhD-level problem solving, and its massive tool ecosystem, including DALL-E.
But the downside to the thinker.
Smallest context window, slowest response times, and the most prohibitive pricing at scale.
So we've laid out the archetypes, we've dug into the nuances. Let's look at the final overall scores from the source materials control room testing.
The big reveal.
GPT 5.3 gets a very respectable 8.7 out of 10. Claude 4.6, Opus sneaks past it with an 8.9. And Gemini 3.1 Pro edges out a narrow victory with a 9.0 out of 10. officially taking the crown for overall value.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what this data fundamentally tells us is that the era of a single absolute winner is over.
Yeah, there's no one ring to rule them all anymore.
Exactly. Claude is the coder's dream, GPT is the ultimate thinker, and Gemini is the unparalleled data processor. But the true winner of this tech war is actually you, the user.
I completely agree. And that actually leads me to a final provocative thought I want to leave you with today. In March 2026, you now have access to three distinct PhD-level assistants desperately competing for your attention.
It's a crazy reality.
Instead of picking just one team to join, how can you strategically orchestrate all three?
That is the real frontier right there. Imagine a workflow where you use Gemini's massive 2 million token window to cheaply ingest and process an entire library of disorganized research documents.
Right. You let the polyglot organize the chaos. And then you take the synthesized summary from Gemini and feed it into GPT 5.3. You utilize its deep reasoning to solve the underlying logical problems hidden in that data.
And finally, you hand GPT's finalized logical architecture over to Claude 4.6 Opus, instructing the engineer to flawlessly code the software platform that brings your vision to life.
Without a single bug on the first run. You don't just have a tool anymore, you have an entire synthetic enterprise at your fingertips. How will you deploy your new AI army today? Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. We will catch you next time.